So in my 10 minutes, I'm just going to raise a couple of openings, really, that are to do with the bringing together of these two terms, encounter and experience. And just to add, again, that Noreen has already warned you, this bit of the day is not so much about queer theory, and it's not so much about sexuality. It is about encounter and experience. And in my own work, I guess they've surfaced these questions around other questions to do with liveness, and to do with ethics in the sense of Levinas's notion of the encounter with the face of the other. They have to do with psychoanalysis and also maternity as scenes of encounter and experience. And they also have to do with temporality, both interruption and the elongated temporalities of waiting that animate both psychoanalysis and maternity. However, I did have a bit of a wobble when Noreen first approached me to do this, and I was kind of thinking, oh, why me? Do I have to have that slot? And it's something to do with not really knowing whether I know anything about either of those two terms. They're horribly difficult to get hold of. What on earth is experience in a psychosocial frame? And what is an encounter between what kinds of objects and with what kinds of fallout? They seem to generate some kind of alarm in me, as if to think about experience and encounter, experience as an encounter and encounter as a kind of experience, would open up something messy, difficult, maybe even violent, yet with the potential for something unexpected and generative to happen. And then I looked over my own work and realised that I have been writing about nothing else other than encounter and experience all the time that I've been writing. So maybe this kind of circling back to things that feel too hot to handle, too difficult to make sense of, is part of what it means to encounter experience and to experience an encounter, and maybe even to learn from that experience through that encounter. So my first question really is, are encounters the same as meetings, gatherings, discussions, arguments, conversations? Or is something captured in the term encounter that includes its etymological derivation, which is a meeting of adversaries? Or in Middle English, to meet as an adversary, to come to the meeting in the expectation that there will be something adverse within it, so that you seek something, but you're also against it, or you're up against it. Adverse itself in the Latin means to turn against. So in an encounter, you come towards another, an object, an experience, but in doing so, you're coming towards a turning against, or perhaps even in the hope of a turning around. So Bion, and I know that Anne is going to talk extensively about Bion, but just to touch on Bion, as we know, talks about experience as emerging from a state of expectation and simultaneously a realization of something missing, which is felt as adverse, in his terms, as a frustration. So in a famous passage from Learning from Experience, he writes the following. The model I propose is that of an infant whose expectation of a breast is mated with a realization of no breast available for satisfaction. This mating is experienced as a no breast or absent breast inside. The next step depends on the infant's capacity for frustration. In particular, it depends on whether the decision is to evade frustration or to modify it. If the capacity for toleration for frustration is sufficient, the no breast inside becomes a thought and an apparatus for thinking develops. So the encounter with the no breast, which he simply calls experience, this going towards and finding what is adverse in the breast, that is the no breast, gives rise to an object relation, frustration with an internal no breast, which if tolerable is transformed into a thought, which of course harks back to Freud's notion of the hallucination of the breast, to deal with the no breast, which in its turn produces an apparatus for thinking, which means to manage thoughts. So we know from beyond that we're not so good, however, at tolerating frustration at the beginning of life, and that we need some help with that in the form of a containing object, usually thought of as a mother, with a mind that can digest the beta elements, those kind of raw thoughts projected into her, which are the thoughts produced out of the encounter with the no breast, which Bion calls experience, and can be given back in a moderated form. This function the mother performs is called alpha function, and she lends it, in essence, to the infant until its own alpha function can manage its own thoughts. When this model is used to think about the analytic encounter, Bion is most concerned with how, in analysis, we come to know something about this mode of experiencing through the analyst's own experiencing of the session, without precluding that experience of one another with preconceived knowledge. He constantly tries to clear a space for experience, understood as this kind of encounter that needs to turn with and not against adversity, the noble asked. This is what I think he means when he maintains that experience is always an emotional experience. It's something we come up against, not something we're just exposed to. But I guess, looking back on my own work, one of the things I've been concerned with is how we might shift from maternal object to maternal subject. What of the mother's experience that is produced through her encounter with this child? It's not a question that psychoanalysis has been very concerned to ask. The mother as environment, of course, is vital. Her failures, both in terms of the necessary failures that bring about the mental life of infants, and in terms of the sequelae of various psychopathologies, are well charted. But in terms of experience, there is just a trickle of work on thinking about maternal encounters. And there isn't much lending back of our understanding of the work of the analyst, particularly through extensive development of the idea of the countertransference, to mothers. Instead, the analyst borrows from the mother a model of containment, but doesn't really return the gesture. So I've spent quite some time as a result asking a feminist and a queer and a psychoanalytic and a philosophical question about maternal encounters. In what ways an encounter with an enigma that is the other, whom one may come to name and claim as a child, and I guess my definition of a mother is anyone who comes to have a relation with an other, maybe an adult other, who one might come to claim and name as a child, can call forth new ways of being, new experiences that themselves provide the ground for new accounts of subjectivity that are not premised on an auto-affective, bounded, upright male subject, but on the fundamental dependencies of intersubjective life. And to do so, I think I've tried to think about that encounter as a kind of ethics, whereby the relation to the other that remains resistant to being understood, that remains radically other. In Levinas, I guess it's through the figure of the face, but I think we could also think about Bion's notion of O, can be figured as the child, so that a maternal subject rather than a maternal object can emerge. I just want to acknowledge that it's often a queer moment when the mother enters a space like this. And I've argued that the temporal dimension of this experience lies somewhere between interruption, the constant interruption that the other makes to our own ongoing being, and endurance, the elongated temporalities of waiting for the other to develop at their own pace, in their own way, and taking their own path towards death, as Freud would say, but always in a relation to an other who is doing the same, one life unfurling in relation to another's unfurling, radically out of sync, yet nevertheless related. Maternal encounters stutter. They are generative and halting in equal measure. Well, so too the psychoanalytic encounter. At its simplest and perhaps most banal formulation, psychoanalysis, in Adam Phillips's words, is no more than two people talking in a room. It's an interaction in which a psychoanalyst is anyone who uses what were Freud's original concepts of the transference, the unconscious and the dream work, in paid conversations with people about how they want to live. With the proviso that this is rather a different and asymmetrical form of conversation that is experienced in the everyday. As Mignon Nixon describes it, the scene of psychoanalysis, that is the unity of time and space and of the psychoanalytic experience, which includes the systematic use of these concepts, but also the transfer of money, the frequency and durations of the sessions, the material configuration and texture of the room, the chair, the couch, the furnishings, the physical placing of analyst and analysand, in relation to these material objects, all make up what is referred to as the psychoanalytic frame. Drawing on Laplanche, she highlights the tension between psychoanalysis as a potential process of dissolution, that is, the dissolution of all formations, psychical, egoic, ideological, and symptomatic, which may be dissolved, and the way that this process is made possible because psychoanalysis offers, in Laplanche's terms, the constancy of a presence, of a solitude, the flexible but attentive constancy of a frame. It is because the principle of constancy, of homeostasis, of binding, is maintained at the periphery that analysis is possible. So this peculiar encounter, this going towards adversity, which can last for years, this discourse which founders at the point in which it becomes intercourse or conversation, both forms of mutuality that the psychoanalytic frame seeks to actively prevent, becomes itself an institution, that which is constant, paradoxically devoted to dissolution. The paradox is sustained only because this non-conversation is premised on the asymmetry that is the condition of the transference, one that is enacted not just in psychic space, but also in the physical and the social estrangement between the two people talking in this room. In the main, they do not touch, they do not change places, they do not come together. One reclines while the other is supposed to remain upright. No one is supposed to fall off their chair. Yet I have written in the past about precisely this. An experience of falling, or perhaps almost falling, or catching myself falling off my chair during a session. The emotional storm, as Bjorn would put it, produced by two people who approach one another awry, we could say as adversaries, in that each must contend with the frustration of no breath that produces thought, that brings on thinking, which Bjorn calls experience, is disturbing at an ontological, psychological, and a somatic level. If, as Laplanche suggests, psychoanalysis leads to dissolution, then this is not a dissolution for its own sake, as if all forms of closure or subjectification were ethically and politically problematic, but rather the idiosyncratic reassemblage of the subject with what speaks in me and also with the world of others. As Nixon has explored, it is the repeated exits and entrances, the props, costumes and furnishings of the psychoanalytic stage that so often provide the material for analysis itself. In addition, key elements that symbolise the value of exchange, time and money will both have to be found for an encounter that appears to guarantee only that it cannot guarantee anything. In entering the frame and literally stepping out of the social order in order to reorganise one's relationship to it, one becomes an anomalous singleton, in the grip perhaps of an anxiety that seems to have made life unlivable, and yet committed to a type of verbal discourse, free association, that speaks me and which seems an unlikely yet necessary means to turn the unlivable into lifeness via some anticipated but unplannable event of liveness. I'm almost done. So I think we might usefully think of both psychoanalysis and maternity as forms of human contact that continue to stage the possibility for something to happen. A radically open encounter with the no-breast that operates through a form of suspended temporality, what Stephen Wright might call time without qualities, that sits uneasily within a culture in which all time is now qualified by the logic of work. And I think this opens up more substantially to a discussion about encounter and experience and temporality, in which we would have to think about encounter under more general conditions of time now not passing, of the suspended temporalities of the now that we seem to be living through, a kind of non-stop inertia, as Ivor Southwood puts it, a suspended animation of waiting for a catastrophe that has in fact already happened to unpredictably unfold. I'm referring to the characterization of the first decades of the 21st century as an epoch in which we are learning painfully to attune ourselves to the contradictions of both experiences of immediacy and the rapid acceleration of social life on the one hand, and the simultaneous slow violences of contemporary capitalism on the other. I think this raises profound questions about encounter and experience and what the elongated practices of psychoanalysis and motherhood, amongst many others, can hold out as practices of care. That's it.